Yes, Ray didn't make it back this morning. He's doing a worship service for the Cub Scouts. They're having a gathering somewhere, I'm not exactly sure, and he was asked by some of his Cub Scout buddies to come and do the worship service this morning. So we praise God for that.
I think he's out in the wilderness somewhere.
Out in the woods somewhere, right. All right. Well, he's right at home then if he's out in the woods because he's a big deer hunter. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and two familiar passages to most of us that come from the Sermon on the Mount. You'll find these on the back of your bulletin as well as on the screen behind me here today. This is reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, nor where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, whatever you wear, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the past 3 weeks, and this is our final week in our sermon series, past 3 weeks we've been looking for answers and solutions and antidotes, really, to our overcommitted, overextended, out-of-control lives. And we've been talking about a lot of different ways in which we can do that. And I hope that some of you, if not all of you, are trying to put some of those principles and things that we've learned to practice. I know I have. I've been trying to do a better job at slowing down and thinning out and trying to observe Sabbath and all those kinds of things. And I hope you're trying to do some of that too. You know, we get up here and we preach and we offer these wonderful insights from God's Word to help. That's what a sermon is supposed to do. It's supposed to put God's principles and teachings into real examples and in real ways in which we can be transformed and transform our lives. Today is going to sound like a stewardship message. You know how we always look forward to that time of year for stewardship when we put out the pledges and we ask for money and giving and whatnot. Well, this sermon is going to sort of sound kind of like that, but there's a reason. There's a reason. It's because money is one of the key stressors in our lives. Money causes more worry and anxiety and fear and all those things, probably more than anything else. And that's why we're touching on it on this last Sunday of this series. And today, we're going to see how less is actually more. Less is more. And that's the title of my message this morning. You know that we are still in the throes of a financial crisis. Now, I know some things have gotten better. I see people getting back to work. I see people working things out with their lenders. There are good things. Jobs are increasing in some areas. In some areas, they're not. But there are still there is still news every day of foreclosures and layoffs, and reductions in force, rifts, if you will. We're seeing interest rates and savings accounts, the stock market, the retirement funds still frittering away, vaporizing away, and things are still not right. This week I sent out an email question, and I asked basically, how is the economic downturn affecting you? And I got some wonderful answers from many of you. I just want to share a few of these. These are people who responded and shared a little bit about their experience. One wrote, "Our children have really been impacted by this economic mess. One of them lost a house. One has no job. Another is considering bankruptcy. And we give as much as we can." Another couple wrote, "We both work more hours outside the home now. I have become an avid couponer and always shop at the thrift shops. My husband works long hours and gets anxious about a slower work schedule. We worry about worry surrounds financial matters, more difficult to set aside family time." I can imagine working multiple jobs. Can't you imagine? One couple wrote, we closed our business. We traded in three vehicles for one. I look at every bill we had and in some way, shape, or form downsized the bill or stopped the service completely. Two huge phone monthly bills were reduced from $100 a month to $10 a month. I'd like to know how to do that. Waste management, we reduced the bill with recycling and so forth. We do not use credit cards unless there is a reward involved in the use of the card. All of our spending is mostly cash. My husband took on jobs he normally doesn't do. We stay warm and use less gas by turning down the household furnace and using our gas fireplace. That's true. We've got a gas fireplace, and it uses much, much less gas if you can get away with just heating a small area of the house. In summertime, we do not use our air conditioner unless it's unbearable. Shut off all the lights with the exception of our outdoor lights. Being retired, I've had to go back to work, and I'm working two jobs. Don't spend at Christmas like we used to. Do not do much shopping for myself. We eat out a little less, even if it isn't on sale. If it's not on sale, it's not purchased. And this one really touched my heart. After being retired for 8 years, because of the downturn, I went back to work for three more years. I'll retire again at the age 73, just to make ends meet. The economic downturn has affected different people differently, and I'm sure that you have your story in how this has affected you as well. Most of you are not unemployed. I know most of you, and most of you are working or retired and enjoying your retirement, but most of you are working. Some of you are working two and three jobs at the same time. And you are still, even though you're not unemployed, you're still feeling the effects and the stress of this economy in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe a family member is. But for many, the issue is overconsumption. Living beyond one's means. And that's something that we've really had to address in this economic downturn, this overconsumption, spending like there's no tomorrow, and as if nothing were really wrong. And all of this overconsumption that we do is causing undue stress in our lives. Why did the current economic crisis happen in the first place? Well, it depends on who you talk to, right? Depends on who you talk to. President Obama, back in 2010, pulled together a blue ribbon commission called the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission to find out what happened, what led to the financial crisis. And this panel was made up of Democrats and Republicans, of course. It was a bipartisan effort. Their conclusions were released on July. This is available online, by the way, if you want to read it. It was a good mix of Democrats and Republicans, of course. The report is roughly 633 pages. And guess what? They couldn't agree. There's a shock. There's a news flash, right? They couldn't agree. The Democrats blamed Wall Street, big business, and greed wrongly thought that the market would automatically correct itself. Republicans blamed banks who encouraged risky loans while the annual percentage rate on loans rose. Actually, it was a combination of all these things, and I'm not going to get into the details. You can read the report for yourself. But it was multifaceted. It was multifaceted. And everybody played a part in it. The crisis happened because of, one writer writes, because of some false assumptions. Some false assumptions. One of those assumptions was that our income will always go up. When's the last time you got a raise? Yeah. Income does not always go up. When I was young, when I was a younger man and I was working in insurance, I expected that salary to go up every year, a little bit at least. It never went backwards or never it stayed flat. It usually increased, sometimes cost of living, but it always went up. That is not an assumption we can make anymore today. Another assumption is that the stock market will always go up. Yeah, right. It'll go up, but then it'll fall about as fast as it went up, right? And another assumption that many people make is that housing prices and housing values will always stay up and never go down. Ha! Yeah. Another assumption. The truth of the matter is that the government cannot fix this problem. Why? Because it is a spiritual matter. It is a spiritual issue. And so each person has to look at this from a spiritual perspective. Why is it spiritual? Because the root cause is sin. Plain and simple. The root cause of the economic crisis and for many crises and for many problems in our world today is because of sin. Now, I know we don't talk a lot about sin in the church. We don't talk enough about sin, what sin is, what sin isn't. But someone, a priest or someone affiliated with the church, perhaps the early church in the early days, identified seven deadly sins. You've heard of the seven deadly sins. And the Catholic Church calls them virile sins and moral sins. But, you know, sin is sin. And there are seven sins that can usually be identified as the core root problem with the problems of our world and in our lives. And those seven sins are anger, sloth, which is laziness, pride, and envy. And then there are three more: lust, greed, and gluttony. And the last three are probably the root cause of the economic crisis and many of people's problems today. Let's talk about each of them for just a moment. Lust. Well, we know what lust is. You know, when we think of lust, we usually think of a sexual lust, lusting after a man or a woman. But lust is any unhealthy desire for something. Any unhealthy desire for something. It's fantasizing about something or someone. Dreaming about this, that, or the other. And lusting and wanting it and desiring it so bad. Jimmy Carter got in trouble many years ago. For those of you old enough to remember Jimmy Carter, in an interview, I think it was in Playboy magazine, of all magazines, you know, admitted that he had lusted after a woman or women. I can't quote it exactly, but he was just being honest, brutally honest, because let's face it, I'm speaking as a guy, we've all lusted at some point in our life. So he was just being honest. Greed, excess desire to possess wealth, desire to keep for oneself without regard for others. I think this is probably the main one, greed. Does the word Bernie Madoff mean anything? I love that name. Sounds like he made off with everybody else's money. Serving now, I don't know how many consecutive life sentences for the Ponzi scheme that he developed and is now paying for. Gluttony. Gluttony is nothing more than, when we think of gluttony, what do we think of? Food, right? Yeah. Gluttony. To quote Gomer Pyle. Some of you can remember Gomer Pyle. I'm really telling my age this morning, aren't I? I'm a child of the 60s. What can I say? Gluttony. Gluttony is overconsumption, overindulgence of anything. Not just food. It could be things. It can be property. It can be trinkets. It can be gadgets. Gluttony. Without any concern for anyone else. But I'd like to add another to the list of three, or to the list of seven, actually. I'd like to list idolatry. Idolatry. I didn't say adultery. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is the worship of idols. The root word is idol there. In the Old Testament, it was easy to describe an idol because it was usually made out of stone or gold or some wood or some man-made figure that they used to set up as a physical presence of their gods. Even the Hebrews, before Moses could get down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the Israelites had made a what? A golden calf to be their god, because they could touch it, feel it, see it. And that's because that's what all their neighbors were doing. It's hard today to see the idols, But when you stop and think about it, an idol is anything. An idol is anything that we put ahead of God. An idol is anything that consumes our thoughts, that consumes our interests, that consumes our time.